Thank you for joining the Information Technology Podcast. This is Anthony Blondo, Business Development Coordinator for Do IT Smarter here in San Diego. And today I'm going to be speaking with Alex Del Rio. He is the business owner of Focus Networks here in San Diego. We're going to be discussing how he was able to successfully leverage his company by becoming a partner with Do IT Smarter and what impact that has on his bottom line. In addition, we're going to be discussing the acquisition that was just announced this week that Dell is going to actually be purchasing Silverback Technologies and what impact that might have on the industry. So here's our interview with Alex Del Rio. I'm talking today with Alex Del Rio, owner of Focus Networks here in San Diego. And Alex has agreed to come on the program, and we're going to talk with him a little bit about his business, about the IT industry, and about how things are working for him. He's actually one of our partners and resellers of Do IT Smarter. Alex, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Alex, let me kind of get started this way. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how you got involved in computers in general.
Oh, wow. How did I get involved in computers? I started in the mid-80s by supporting my father's business. And from there, I went to selling software. And from there, I went to supporting a database application and training people on that application. And then I actually got into coding. I was a programmer for about 4 or 5 years. And then I became a network at the CIO's request. I was asked to take over the network, which was an Abanian network. That was in 92, 93. And I've been in networking ever since. Shortly thereafter, I went to then Computerland Vanstar, and I've been with integrators ever since. I've been in the industry roughly 18 years, and been an integrator. This is my own company, but this is my fifth integrator.
And what is it about the IT industry that, you know, excites you? What is it about this industry that you really enjoy?
Well, I mean, I was pre-med for 2 years and had aspirations to, you know, I volunteered in an emergency room and had aspirations to be a trauma surgeon or a trauma doctor, you know, some kind of a trauma doctor, and kind of discovered computers along the way and fell in love with computing, you know, back in the day before anybody knew what they were. PCs were just really coming up, you know, the XTs and the ATs. I kind of fell in love with computers and ended up, I guess you could say that I'm a trauma surgeon for networks at this point.
Yeah, without all the blood and guts.
Exactly. So that's what I get to do, and it's, you know, it's very fast paced. The field of technology is never the same. You know, there's always things evolving inside of the technology, and for the most part, you know, with the exception of a couple of years there, it's very exciting. It's very fun, and there's always something new to learn, and there's always some new evolution of the technology that takes a whole different view on things, and a whole different perspective of things. Perfect example is exactly what we're about to talk about, right? The ESP world. There's technology out there that 2 years ago was not available. You know, we're signing on to resell an online backup utility, online backup solution. You know, that's unheard of 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It was just a concept. So it's, to me, what's the most fun and most interesting and intriguing is that there's always an evolution in the industry. There's always new things to learn and new aspects, and always making it better, always building a better mousetrap. 2-3 years ago, we were really heavily into security. 2-3 years before that, we were really heavily into Citrix. All along the way, we've been, for the last 6 years, 7 years, Hector and I have been involved with MSPs or MSSPs. So it's just, I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of meandered there a little bit, but, you know, it's a fun CBM. It's something I've been doing a really long time, so it comes very easy to me. And, you know, I have a lot of mastery in the field, and so when new things come along, you know, we're able to catch on to them very quickly, and ultimately the client gets a better product. So I'm all about taking care of my client. You know, I remember what it was like to be a network administrator. So what's going on in the industry right now is that it doesn't matter whether you're a 5-user network or whether you're a 500-user network. I can bring you something that's of value that is going to give you allow you to concentrate on your business strategic operations, and I'm going to be able to bring you a tool some way, somehow, whether it's just the technology or whether it's a bundled package to take care of your network and do it better, cheaper, and faster than anybody else.
Yeah, that's going to create the most value for the client, and I'm glad that you brought that up. And I kind of wanted to take a snapshot of where the industry was 2 or 3 years ago. What was it like in your industry 2 or 3 years ago before you really started to focus on the managed services?
Well, like I said, Hector and I have been involved with managed services for quite some time. We built two managed services before we signed on with DoIT. And in fact, I know, I don't know if you know this, but Lane and Jeff and Dawn and I used to work together at a company that we actually had our first glimpse at what an MSP, the MSP concept, because it was brought to us by a client. The client actually came to us and asked us to host his exchange. This was 10 years ago. And that was really the beginning of, it was just evolving from the ASP concept to the MSP concept, the application provider concept, which I don't think the industry was really ready for, to a managed service provider concept. And, you know, it was very point product driven. It was very, the first MSP that we launched was security. We did AV, we did monitoring, did backup monitoring, and we did Citrix. We monitored your Citrix farm. So it was extremely point driven. And then, of course, it was the traditional support engine that went with it and the traditional project-based, delivery that went with it. And as a consultant, what I can do today is, as I said, the technology has evolved to a point where I can truly, for the first time, probably in the last 2 years is when it began, for the first time since I've been in the industry, I can truly remotely manage and monitor and support your network down to the desktop with very little pre-configuration. I mean, a lot of the tools were, you could do it, but you had to have, you had to configure firewalls, and you had to have special passwords to everybody's network, and you had to have some very high level of partnership. You can't do that anymore. The tools exist that I can have visibility into your network, have it on my email, on my phone, and from my phone be able to look and see what's going on with you, and within 10 minutes I can have my laptop up with a wireless card on your desktop, remotely managing your desktop to either support a file server or support a workstation. That 2 years ago was impossible. So I can deliver enterprise, Fortune 100 support to a 5-user network.
So talk to me about the value that would create. Let's say, for instance, I was a VAR. Maybe I had dabbled in managed services a little bit, and I'm looking to expand my business. What value does managed services, or making the investment of time into exploring the managed service portfolio, what is that ultimately going to do for my business, in your opinion?
Well, it's a win-win. It's a win-win for the client. It's a win for the client. It's a win for you as a reseller, as an integrator, and it's a win for DoIT. In that, the ability to deliver a product, if you will. We call our product a proactive support plan. So we actually can deliver a plan which is comprised of services, technology, the tools like the incident management portal, the monitoring tools. We bundle all that stuff together, and I can give it to a client for line item on their accounts payable. The cost of IT is now regulated to a line item, at least for support and maintenance. Now, for a 5-user company, or a 10-user, or a 20, or 30, or 100, 200-user company, that's always been a thorn in their side. Now, there's always a certain level of project-based stuff, but that can be managed on a project basis. But being able to go to a client and say, look, for X amount of money, I'm going to maintain your network. I'm going to support and maintain your network. And I'm going to do it faster, cheaper, and better, the higher quality than you do today, using whatever it is you're using, and it's going to cost you a fixed cost. That's priceless.
Talk to me a little bit more about the different platforms that you maybe run into in the managed service industry, and what types of things that you do with DoIT Smarter in order to leverage yourself and leverage your technology.
Well, DYT, you know, what DYT gives us is, you know, we were, as I said, we've built managed services before. So we were looking for the magic pieces of the puzzle to build our own MSP. And the more we looked at the tools, the more the tools started coming back to the tools that DYT had already put together. So what DYT offers us, what it allows us to do is to go sell the management portal and the Silverback monitoring utilities on a as-you-go basis, right? So I don't have to invest, you know, $150,000 in the back end, and I can still deliver that type of a service to my client. Now, using that technology, which again, enterprise technology, and bundling that together with other, you know, there's other things that we sell. We resell Exchange, you know, monitored and hosted Exchange. We resell, as I said, backup solutions. We resell web filtering solutions because we're security. We still are primarily have a security practice, and, you know, in place. So we can sell any one of those pieces of the puzzle to the client to fit their needs, right? But what DYT allows us to do is the foundation, if you will, of any relationship with a client is the maintenance of their systems, you know, whether it be networks or PCs. We primarily work with, you know, Windows 2000, 2003 servers. We do some desktop support, and we do use, you know, the help desk, which is the third piece of the puzzle, the help desk, the outsourced help desk that DYT has. And what we then bundle that with is our manpower, our labor, and our knowledge, right? And we both have processes on both sides of the house. DYT has their sets of processes that fit perfectly in with our sets of processes. And, you know, together we can manage anything from, you know, I'm managing Linux boxes, I'm managing Oracle boxes, I'm managing SQL boxes, Exchange boxes, Citrix farms. I've got two Citrix farms that I've down to one Citrix farm. You know, you name it, pretty much I can monitor it. And I can monitor it from a mission criticality perspective. Or I can monitor it from a full-blown outsource perspective, or I can monitor it. I got one client who, I don't even get the alerts. Alerts go straight to them. They got their own staff. I'm level three, if you will. Help desk is level one. The client takes level two, and I take level two. He then escalates server-based stuff that he doesn't want to deal with or can't deal with, he escalates it to me. And okay, it's all done, you know, from the help desk.
Okay. So, you know, back
Is that what you're looking for? Did I give you too much there?
No, that's excellent. I mean, because there's obviously your time as a business owner,
yep,
and then there's the knowledge base that you have with, you know, choosing to create a managed service business model. And then you have your tools. And so, you know, basically what I'm trying to get at is it's not just about the tools that you have, because a lot of other companies have similar types of tools. It's more about the implementation of having a strategy where you know exactly how to customize the managed service package to fit the client's needs. Would that be a correct assessment of kind of what you guys
absolutely do? Absolutely. But so what DYT does for us is, you know, I actually had this conversation with Don. It's like, you know, Microsoft gives you Windows. How you deliver Windows is completely up to your processes and your delivery engine. DYT gives me a platform to deliver a foundation, if you will, to build upon, right? That's critical. The foundation's critical. Yeah, there's other companies that do it, but what DYT has done is they've built a process around it. And I will say this, DYT, if I knew nothing about managed services, I'd be insane to go sign up with anybody else but DYT, because they give you all kinds of tools, you know, all kinds of education. You know, first thing you do is you go through getting educated on MSP. Now, again, I already had a basis in it, a foundation in MSP, right? So I got through that pretty quickly. And then I not only do I now have a tool to deliver, to the foundation to deliver my full package, as you said, but I also now have a tool to capture all my documentation. I have a central point where I can go, or any one of my staff can go, and they can find everything they need to know about this client from special instructions on how to install software to network diagrams to who to escalate to. It allows me to do change process, which, you know, trying to wrestle a client down that doesn't have a large enough IT department where they've taken the time to create their own change process is a nightmare. With the incident management portal, it's all built in. It's all electronic. Software approval I'm just using, and it works great because it's all email based. So, and I don't do anything outside of what the client really wants me to do without the client approving it. In some cases, it's set up that way, right? The client wants approval on the software. The tool allows me to do that. Now your point's well taken. Just the tool isn't going to deliver the product, right? It's about the delivery engine that how we're delivering the solution to the client. We don't sell technology, we sell solutions. Focus Network sells solutions. And that solution, however, you know, there are basics that we either like building blocks that we use to create the solution, it is somewhat customized, right? Somebody may not want or need outsourced exchange. Somebody may, right? But the foundation of it is all the same. It's the three items that we get from DoIT, right? And the processes behind them. And then we just build on top of those and bundle it all together, put a bow around it, and hand it to the client. And, you know, the client then tells us, well, yeah, this is exactly what I need, or, well, I actually need more hours, or I actually need less hours, or, you know, can we work this out, or can we not work that out? And it's all around the SLA. If you want less hours, it's great, but your SLA is going to go down. So it allows us to really create a package that works for the client within reason. There are some boundaries of things that we won't do, so it's not completely customized, but we do customize it to fit whatever the need is for the client.
With the leverage you've been able to create using the partnership relationship with DoIT Smarter, how does that impact how you're building your business today?
Around the end of last year, we've been in business about 3 years, and we've been in the industry roughly, you know, with integrators about 15 years, 12 to 15 years, depending who you talk to, me and Hector. And what we're seeing in the industry and why we decided to go the route we did is that, you know, project-based consulting is just not what it used to be, number one. And number two, I'm never going to build my business. You know, as I said, I was a two-man shop. And I was never going to build my business if I didn't start to look at something that's going to allow recurring revenue. Because the bottom line is we could only make as much money as we built under a project model. So what we started to see very quickly on in our business was that we were running into a graph, if you would, that looked like a heartbeat. It was up and down, up and down, up and down, because we were constantly filling the pipe, delivering. So while you're delivering, you can't do anything. You can't cause, for the most part, you can't cause leads, right? You can't generate any business. You can't do business development while you're delivering the product. You just closed, right? So how do you solve that? Well, the way you solve that is recurring revenue, and we knew that. What we didn't know was what the right fit was, right? And how to jump in. We either needed to go get investors, take a second mortgage out on the house, or partner with somebody, because in order to do it right, we'd already not done it right. That's why we left the companies we were at. In order to do it right, you needed to make a substantial investment in the technology. Well, as we looked at the technology and as we saw what DoIT Smarter had already put together and all the supporting pieces of the puzzle, we very quickly saw that we needed to realign our business to a recurring revenue model, a proactive support model. Now, does that mean I don't do projects anymore? No. But the majority of the clients that I'm concentrating on, working on, taking care of, spending my time and attention on right now are clients that are interested in a partnership with me, sign a contract with me. right? They're tired of paying exorbitant support costs for getting crappy service. And they already trust us because, for the most part, we already do their project work. So in, 7 months, we've created in the vicinity of $20,000 of recurring revenue, and we've hired our first full-time tech. I had, four contractors, and we just hired our first full-time tech, and we're about to hire our second. So I don't know if that fully answered your question, but we, Focus Networks, the way that we're going to build our business is we're going to go from a project-based, consultative, block of hours-based company to a proactive support contract company. Whether that means a full-fledged help desk to take care of your desktops, or whether that means monitoring management of your care and feeding of your server farm, that's up to you. Or, maybe you got 5 little workstations and you don't need a help desk. You just need somebody to come in and make sure that everything's patched up, twice a month.
So by using that concept, it sounds to me, Alex, like you've been able to work more on building your business than working on your business. Has that been your experience?
Well, Hector and I are kind of rare in that we're very, very technology driven. We had a third partner who was just driven, who left the company a little over a year ago. And we have support. We have people that support us in running the business, like an accountant and such. But what I'm spending more of my time now by necessity is, I guess there's more, because it's less project based work, it allows me to plan my business, like, strategically. I have signed contracts from clients, and I know that I'm going to have a certain level of recurring revenue. And the tech's time that's up there doing the work is already paid for. So there's no concern about, at least for those contracts, there's no concern about, okay, what's next? Am I going to keep this tech busy? Am I going to be busy? That's just all built into the contract. Now, do I still need to worry about filling the pipe? Of course. But now I have the time to fill the pipe. And that's part of what the things that do IT supports us in is that, they're now coming up with a new one with the demand generation program. But I've worked very closely with Dawn to whenever there's opportunities that come up, and the first thing I do is I go talk to Dawn, and I'm like, okay, here's the person, here we think it's going to fit, what do you think, here's how many users, yada, yada. And that partnership has worked very well for us because, ultimately, it's not my client, it's our client. And that's the way DoIT looks at them. They're not just my client, it's our client, because we all win if the client wins.
Yeah, so what you're saying then, Alex, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that when you have a client and you're maybe a little bit out of your comfort zone, or you just want a sounding board to get some feedback on how to approach the situation correctly, you're able to come to Don Begg, who's the CEO, who's got 25 years of experience in the industry, and have a brief conversation with him and say, how are we going to win together, instead of not having that resource to fall back on?
Right.
And then what other resources and what other books and other types of things have you found helpful in growing your business? So, for instance, you don't know what you don't know, and what are some of the resources that you use to be more effective?
Well, from a business perspective, I don't know if you've heard of SCORE. They're part of the Small Business Administration. We went to talk to SCORE, and SCORE was very supportive and very helpful, and actually started this whole process. What really started this whole process was redoing our business plan, remodeling our business, if you will. And then we went and we hired somebody to write a business plan with us. We actually talked to several friends, both Hector and I's friends, and one of Hector's friends who had a buddy who had a master's and had an MBA. And that's what he does for a living. He writes business plans, and we hired the guy, and he helped us bang out our business plan. And as I said, we've talked to Don quite a bit, and we have, the best advice I can give anybody who's in our world is, number one, find the people who are in whatever industry, whatever you need support with. We needed support with accounting. I started talking to people in my life who I know and trust, and until I found an accountant who I trusted. And, you know, she's worked out really, really well. You know, you look for the people in your life who you trust, have a conversation with them, and more than likely the person you meet is, you know, within one or two conversations away. You just need to actually have the conversation. There's no difference than the concept of referrals, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a conversation with the people around you to find out what it is that you need, and 99% of the time that the what you need is in your circle somewhere. So yeah, so that's really what we've done, is talk to the resources that are trusted resources. SCORE, as I said, is one of them. Is a group of, I don't know if you know the organization, they're retired entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
Those
yeah.
Those guys have all made it. They've
right.
all, you know, been there, done that, and you know that kind of information is invaluable, you know, because those guys have 30, 40, 50 years of experience, and they're very open to sharing that information with you. You know, we've read books. You know, we've read, referral books, and we've done you mentioned Robin Robbins when I was in the office the other day. We looked at the Robin Robbins stuff like 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And some of her stuff's really good. Some of her stuff doesn't make sense for our industry.
Right.
So, you know, it's great for a web company, but mm-hmm. It's not what we need. Most people are not going to buy a proactive support plan from a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Most people. Now, if they come recommended from a vendor, if they come recommended from a friend, if they come recommended from another client, that's a completely different conversation.
Exactly.
You know, if they go on DoIT's network and they see Focus Network, that okay, now you've got of a source who, you know, is in the industry. That's what they do, right? They're reselling the product, and you guys have won all kinds of awards. Now our referrals are always a great source of revenue for us.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, the referral and being part of a network, it's credibility. And at the end of the day, no one's going to make business decisions without checking out, making sure that they like you and trust you, and that it's a good match. And if they can tap into a network, it's, and there is already a set process that they're already comfortable with, they're more likely to do business with within that network. What is your opinion, and what impact do you think it'll have with Dell buying Silverback?
I just found that out. You know, it's funny because I mentioned it to my partner, and we were like, wow. And it's like, it could be good, it could be bad. Dell is, they used to be the little engine that could, and about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, Compaq almost lost their server business to Dell. In fact, I would say that they took it, because there was a time that you did not walk into a data center and see Dell. You walked into a data center and you saw Compaqs or IBMs. So they're doing something right. So I don't know. I mean, really, the bottom line is, I don't know. They must have something in mind that they wouldn't buy them. So my only concern would be that, I don't know, that they turn the product into something else that we'll have to buy directly from Dell. I don't know. But, you know, there's also a lot of established companies out there using Silverback already. Now, Silverback's a privately held company. Dell's a monster. It had to happen eventually. So it's just a matter of, you know, what are they going to invest in? If they're wise, they'll invest. You know, my only concern, like I said, would be that you're dealing with Silverback is an agnostic product, and now you got Dell involved. So, you know, what's going to happen with, you know, HP monitoring? What's going to happen with, you know, whenever you start dealing with a company that owns hardware that now owns a product that's typically an agnostic product, I get a little bit concerned. You know, I mean, look at CA, I think, is the best example of a company that just didn't know how to acquisition companies. They acquisitioned way too many companies and ruined some of the products they acquisitioned. Symantec's an example of a company that does pretty well acquisitioning companies. But ultimately, there's always a danger of, look, a company like Dell does not buy a company like Silverback without having some strategic mindset. They got something in mind. I don't know what it is. They wouldn't buy the company otherwise. You don't see Dell going out and buying just anybody, right?
Right.
You know, when HP bought When Compaq and HP merged and they bought Tandem, there was a very specific purpose for buying Tandem. That's it. That was the only purpose. They had all kinds of people saying, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Same with the AlphaChip. They had all kinds of stuff. They had very specific strategic purposes for buying those particular technologies, and they have not done anything with them, right? And then the other side of that is there's been a huge transformation inside HP and Compaq when they bought each other. Compaq is, you know, the HP servers are now what used to be the Compaq server is now the HP server. And what used to be the Compaq desktop is pretty much now an HP desktop. You never know how these things are going to end up. Only the guys that bought the companies know what they're going to do, and it may not look the way we think it's going to look. But if we look at what is probable, what I would say is probable is that they will continue to invest in a technology that works and put them on a more stable foundation. That's what I'd like to see, because I think the Silverback product is the winner.
Yeah, that was more to my point, Alex, is, you know, Dell, you take Dell, and they're just a giant, what I would say, VAR. Their profits are being eaten into because someone can easily go to the Dell website, or they can just jump on Craigslist and buy a used Dell computer. So I think with the used computers, you have eBay, you have Craigslist, you have other smaller mom-and-pop shops that refurbish Dells and stuff like that. I think that they're seeing, you know, diminished margins on just selling the new computers. So it was, you know, the thing that was interesting to me is that now they're buying Silverback, which is traditionally a monitoring system, which is within that managed service arena, which is different than what they've traditionally been doing. So I guess we'll see what changes are on the horizon. It's definitely an interesting development, though. Well, Alex, I appreciate you coming on the show today. You've given us some tremendous insight into the managed service industry, and I'll let you go ahead and close this segment by giving any words of wisdom that you might give someone who's just investigating the managed service industry.
You know, it's not to be taken on lightly. It's, you know, there's a tendency to, I got an email from a managed service provider about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and it said, no technical knowledge necessary or required. And, you know, that's a little disconcerting that you've got people out there who are actually intending to sell a product to companies that are going to be entrusting their systems to you, and you have a mindset that you're not going to need any technical ability. And I just think that doesn't serve the industry, and it doesn't serve our clients. And so I would just caution anybody who's getting into managed services to make sure that it's not about the money. It's about the deliver. It's about what you're going to deliver. I mean, ultimately, that's what it's about for us. It gives us the capability, like, do I get recurring revenue? Sure. But if it didn't work for the client, if it didn't deliver the service that the client needs, it wouldn't matter if we made money, because we give plenty of opportunities to make money. It's not about that. It's about delivering a quality service to our clients and keeping your networks up so that they can concentrate on the business.
That's a good point. Well, again, Alex, thank you for coming on the program.
All right, great. Thank you.